Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 33, The Last Events, Text Number 3. I'm just trying to work out how much they've written there. They've written half the verse. There's more on the other page. So considering there's actually 10 lines in this Sanskrit, we'll just chant the first, up there, it's the first two and one word. Ending on Dwaya, we'll just chant up to Dwaya. Rasatsvaha sampravrito Gopi mandala mandita Yogeshwarena krishnena Tasham madhe dvayo dvayo Satsavaha sambhavrita Gopi mandala mandita Yogeshwarena krishnena Tasham madhe dvayo dvayo Satsavaha sambhavrita Gopi mandala mandita Yogeshwarena krishnena Tasham madhe dvayo dvayo The festive rasa dance commenced with the gopis arrayed in a circle. Lord Krishna expanded himself and entered between each pair of gopis, and as that master of mystic power placed his arms around their necks, each girl thought he was standing next to her alone. The demigods and their wives were overwhelmed with eagerness to witness the rasa dance, and they soon crowded the sky with their hundreds of celestial airplanes. We'll read that responsibly. The festive rasa dance commenced with the gopis arrayed in a circle. Lord Krishna expanded himself and entered between each pair of gopis. And as that master of mystic power placed his arms around their necks, each girl thought he was standing next to her alone. The demigods and their wives were overwhelmed with eagerness to witness the rasa dance, and they soon crowded the sky with their hundreds of celestial airplanes. Purport. Srila Bilva Mangala Thakur has written the following verse about the rasa dance. Anganam, anganam, mantara madhavo, madhavan, madhavan, sankaren anganaha, hitam makravipite mandale madhyagaha, Sanjago Vinna Deviki Nandanaha. Lord Madhava was situated between each pair of gopis, and a gopi was situated between each pair of his manifestations. And Sri Krishna, the son of Devaki, also appeared in the middle of the circle, playing upon his flute and singing. Srila Vishwanath Chakravartitaka points out that the gopis, maddened by love, were unable to understand that Sri Krishna had expanded himself so he could personally dance with each of them. Each gopi saw one manifestation of Krishna. The demigods and the wise, however, could see all his different manifestations as they watched the Rasa dance from the airplanes, and thus they were completely astonished. Had they read verses 1 and 2? Someone's... Yeah, they did not. Was that done in one day or?
2 days.
Was that Buru Jampa there?
No, it wasn't
Buru
Jampa. It was
Kesha. Kesha. So, I'll just quickly read those verses anyway. Sukadeva Goswami said, when the cowherd girls heard the Supreme Personality of Godhead speak these most charming words, they forgot their distress caused by separation from him. Touching his transcendental limbs, they felt all their desires fulfilled. There on the Jamuna's banks, Lord Govinda then began the pastime of the Rasa dance in the company of those jewels among women, the faithful gopis, who joyfully linked their arms together. And then we have today's verse. So, this Rasa dance, Krishna is very eager to satisfy and make his beloved gopis, his devotees, very happy. Krishna, as he previously explained, is very much captivated and controlled by the love of the gopis, and so he is very desirous of making them happy. He can understand that there was some unhappiness because he had separated from them for various different reasons, and now he wanted to fill their hearts with unlimited bliss, which he was quite capable of doing. So he didn't just want to make them happy, he wanted them to be unlimitedly blissful. And the gopis, of course, they... So in doing that, Krishna, he was very eager to dance with the gopis and to embrace them and to kiss them and to sing with them and enjoy with them in all these different ways, because he knew that that would make them very, very happy. That was their heart's desires. And the gopis, their only thought was in making Krishna happy. And so they knew that if they would embrace Krishna and kiss him and dance with him, in this way they would make Krishna very happy. So this Rasa dance is based upon the loving exchanges between Radha and Krishna, each thinking of the other's happiness. So that's a very important point, I guess, to fix in our minds right from the very beginning. That, you know, we should be careful of approaching this in our conditioned way, where we are generally, you know, a young boy and a young girl will approach each other with an enjoying mood for their own personal pleasure. So we sort of have to put that aside, even though that's sort of, you know, ground into our consciousness over millions and millions of births. And we have to, you know, understand that the Krishna and the gopis, they're approaching each other, each with the desire to make each other happy. Just out of a mood of pure love. So, they are in this pastime. This particular, some very significant words here which have been used. There's rasa. In the previous verse there is rasa kridam, and in this verse there is rasotsava. So when there is dancing and embracing and kissing and singing and merrymaking, those combined activities produce rasa. And specifically conjugal rasa. So those combined activities produce a very wonderful melody that you can taste and relish, very ecstatic, very blissful. Because these this rasa is only tasted on the transcendental platform. Factually, we do not taste rasa like this in the material world, try as we may, because of the this world is filled with it is a shadow of reality, which means there is a shadow of happiness. We go to taste some particular mellow, some rasa, some flavor, and we find that there is only the shadow of that rasa there. And instead of becoming filled with unlimited bliss, we become filled with unlimited sorrow and remorse and anxiety and depression and frustration, and the list goes on. So actually, you know, we hear, you know, that rasa, conjugal rasa, when these activities are combined, they produce rasa. And so we may foolishly think, well, then let us, you know, combine dancing and, you know, kissing, embracing, and we will also produce rasa. But it doesn't happen. This is something that happens on the transcendental platform. So then the word used yesterday was rasa krida, rasa kridam, which is another name for the rasa dance. Sometimes that when on that transcendental platform, if someone takes amusement in enjoying this type of conjugal rasa, that is called rasa kridam or rasa dance. And today the word here is used rasotsava, or rasa utsava, or festival. So it is actually a great festival because of all the ingredients of the singing and the dancing and the merrymaking like that. And this particular dance that they performed was called the I think it's called the Halisaka, where the gopis. The Halisaka dance is a dance where it is all women, and they dance with in circles, like concentric circles, with their hands on each other's shoulders, and there is one male, central male figure, of course that being Krishna, and it is a there is dancing, and the mood, there is a very amorous, loving, conjugal mood in that dancing. So, it is a particular type of dancing. There are other different types of dances that they do. So this was the formation that they manifested. Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur makes an unusual, a very significant point, that he says that Krishna was not the doer in the rasa dance. In other words, he did not initiate, he did not you know, stand there and say, right, okay, you lot over there, and that's, you know, you over there, I'll be in the middle, you know, we'll do like this, and, you know, you twirl around and I'll come at you. And, you know, there was no, Krishna did not instigate anything. He was not the doer. The Rasa Leela itself was the doer. So the Rasa dance pastime, Krishna gave full independence to Rasa Leela to manifest that Rasa Leela pastime. And Śrīla Viśvanātha Cakravarti Thakura, he states that therefore Rasa Leela has this supreme glorious position more than Krishna himself, more than all his energies, more than all his other pastimes. So glorious is Rasa Leela. Acting, Krishna gave full independence and manifest this glorious pastime that is considered more glorious than Krishna. So, you know, even that concept there is quite astounding. This whole Rasa Leela pastime is a very spiritual, mystical, inconceivable happening, manifestation. Just a little window to the spiritual world. It is stupefying. It's very, very difficult to actually conceive of, you know, what took place. It is not like, you know, we may have some conception of, you know, just you know, some women, you know, like a barn dance sort of thing. You know, we have something in our mind that, you know, we're used to, and we're sort of, I can see it. But it really is quite inconceivable what actually took place. So Krishna was literally one of the members, you know, the participants, and therefore it was this wonderful, you know, events unfolded in such a way that he was, you know, enjoying immensely. He did not have to take up a management role, or, you know, an administrative role. He could just sit back and just enjoy this, you know, wonderful event. So, so in this dance, Krishna was situated in the center with Radharani. He was playing his flute and dancing. And the gopis were in, you know, circles around Krishna, and they had their hands on each other's shoulders. The gopis, one of the benefits of, you know, putting your hands on the shoulders is that it sort of brings everyone in closer. We have to remember there were 300 million gopis in this Rasa dance. So they didn't want to, you know, just spread out all dancing and end up, they wanted to, you know, by placing arms on shoulders, it, you know, brings them in closer to Krishna like this. And also there is a, you know, a very wonderful bond between the various gopis as well. Sometimes you see, you know, the devotees dance like that, you know, when the kirtans gets, you know, really ecstatic, they just, you know, they grab each other around the, you know, the shoulders, and they come in close, and, you know, it just increases the ecstasy like that. So now again, one may think, with Srimati Radharani, she's in the middle, she's been singled out, because actually Srimati Radharani is the cause, the very cause of rasa dance. Without Radharani, there is no rasa dance. Although there were 300 million gopis, if Radha wasn't there, Krishna wouldn't be there. It's not like that song, they brought out a song in the 60s, you know. If you can't be with the one you love the one you're with, you know. That song. If you can't be with the one you love the one you're with. That was a song that came out. But spiritual world is not like that. That's the material world. That sort of concept is glorified. In fact, in the material world, even if you can be with the one you love, still they love the one they're with. So, Srimati Radharani was, central to the Rasa Leela, to Krishna's enjoyment there. And Srimati Radharani was the most qualified of all the wonderful qualities. All the gopis were supremely qualified, and yet Srimati Radharani was the most qualified, and she was the most expert in all the performing arts, because this is, of course, a manifestation here of various performing arts of singing and dancing, playing music and what have you. Cooking. So, what's that?
Cooking.
Well, I don't think there was a lot of cooking going on. They were cooking it up, but it wasn't food. There was actually on that point. You can come to one of our dances, you know. We'll set you up some pots. But their food was actually their loving glances. That's all they ate. That was enough. So the gopis actually they were encouraging Srimati Radharani to take that central position. They weren't, you know, there wasn't that envy, again, that we have in the material world. That they wanted her, you know, they knew that, they were happy that she was qualified. You were so qualified, and they were happy that she was, you know, so qualified. They were happy that, that Krishna was, blissful in Radharani's association. There was no envy, no trace that, let's take her out of the middle, trip her up, what's that song? Murder on the Dance Floor? But, and Srimati Radharani, she was also, although she was in the centre, she had this wonderful position where she could see the expert dancing and singing and movements of all the other gopis, and she was appreciating their, you know, wonderful expertise and their wonderful qualities. So, you know, there's just this great flow of love and amongst everyone. There was no trace of any negative feelings anywhere. It was saturated with pure love on every level. And Lord Sri Krishna, he was situated in the centre, dancing with Srimati Radharani. Now, in the purport here, it describes how he was situated amongst the other gopis. Now, there's a quote here by Bilva Mangala Thakur, which is a very important quote, which Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur has quoted to substantiate his explanation. And Bilva Mangala Thakur is saying that Lord Madhava was situated between each pair of gopis. So you have two gopis with a Krishna in the middle. And a gopi was situated between each pair of his manifestations. So you have two Krishnas and a gopi. And Sri Krishna, the son of Devaki, also appeared in the middle of the circle, playing upon his flute and singing. So here, Hridayananda Maharaj gives this summary of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti's course purport, which probably needs to be expanded a bit to understand it properly. But he says, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti, the core, points out that the gopis, maddened by love, were unable to understand that Sri Krishna had expanded himself, so he could personally dance with each of them. Each gopi saw one manifestation of Krishna. The demigods and their wives, however, could see all his different manifestations as they watched the Rasa dance from the airplanes, and thus they were completely astonished. So it's the word here, manifestations, expanded himself. This type of expansion, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti, the core, describes that Krishna was situated in the centre, and within a fraction of a moment, he actually moved amongst all the 3 billion gopis and back again. Try and conceive of that. That's what he's saying. In that way he expanded. Expanded, there is expanded in the sense that each gopi is seeing Krishna with her alone, but those gopis are also seeing that Krishna is all around. So they're thinking, because they're maddened by love, they're in ecstasy. They're in so much ecstasy. They're dancing. They're twirling at lightning speed. And they can't stop. They couldn't stop if they wanted. They're just in complete bliss. They're blissed out. They're just dancing wildly. And they're in so much maddened love with Krishna that Krishna is there with them. And at the same time, they're seeing Krishna's all around, but they're thinking, well, he is so expert that he's dancing here, he's dancing there, but he's coming back so quick, he practically is with me all the time like this. Sometimes Krishna would actually, place one hand on the shoulder of one gopi and one on the other of another gopi and dance with both of them. In this way, sometimes Krishna was, he would dance behind them. And then he would dance in front of them. So each gopi was thinking, Krishna is there. And then, they would embrace him when he was in front, and Krishna would embrace them, so he's embracing them from all directions. And so he was appearing to be, moving around here and there. But each gopi is feeling, he's primarily with me. But Krishna was there in the centre, and he was within a fraction of a second moving in to the outskirts of the centre of the circle and back again. So that is Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's explanation of how Krishna acted within this, and therefore it's described that he appeared like a whirling firebrand. Well, the whole Rasa dance in itself, because of the gopis' movements and Krishna's movements, the dance would sometimes, they're all going in one direction and then they're all going in another direction, and sometimes they're going very fast and then they sort of halting motions and then sometimes zigzagging and like this. So it was, quite an amazing scene. The demigods were up in the heavenly planets. Not in the heavenly planets, they came from the heavenly planets. And they were watching and playing musical instruments, singing. They were also dancing in ecstasy, showering flowers, and all of the personified demigods of various performing arts, they all appeared there. So, you know, the personified forms of the different notes in the scale, the personified forms of the various types of musical instruments, of the various types of singing, of the various types of meters and tempos and melodies. All these personified personalities of all different types of, you know, music and dance, they appeared there and, you know, made this, offered service to Krishna and the gopis by playing this wonderful heavenly music. So you can imagine, you know, the beating of the drums and the stringed instruments, and, you know, it's just something that we can, you know, barely imagine. It's, you know, I've heard that Ravi Shankar, who was, you know, world renowned for the sitar, that it took him 7 lives, you know, worshipping Mother Saraswati, you know, and various demigods associated with that type of music, to become, you know, perfect in his art. So you could imagine if it takes him 7 lives, and, you know, he's a mere mortal, and, you know, his music was quite mesmerizing. But you could imagine if Mother Saraswati herself played, took up the sitar, you know, how it would be, you know, the music would be, you know, just nectar to the ears. It's almost incomprehensible. Just so sweet, a sound that, you know, would just haunt one forever, you know, in a good way. You know, one could never stop hearing that within one's heart. So all these demigods, they appear there, and they're playing this most beautiful, you know, sounds and singing. Although generally, you know, when one tests one's voice, you generally test the voice with, say, the veena, so the notes on the veena, and that way you can see the quality, the pitch of your voice, the tone of your voice. But actually these personified demigods with their musical instruments, they had to test their music and their sounds against the gopis' voices. That was the perfection. It was not that the gopis were singing in time, you know, pitching themselves with the demigods, but the demigods, as wonderful as they were, you know, pitching their, testing their, the quality of, you know, their arts against the gopis' voices and singing. Because the gopis, they were so, you know, there's 300 million gopis singing, and each and every one of them has, you know, this beautiful voice that even the demigods are, you know, admiring. And they're singing, they're dancing, you know, to the beat of the various drums and twirling. And they're, especially in the case with the Nitya Siddha devotees, and as we described, you know, Srimati Radharani, her, you know, expertise in these performing arts, dancing, singing, was, you know, the most wonderful. And it's described that those qualities of her expertise are eternal. So, you know, in the case of Srimati Radharani and those Nitya Siddha devotees, it's not that they have to, you know, practice. You know, like some, you know, last night we had a performance, so devotees, you know, were up there and they were playing guitar and harmonium and various things. And of course most of them have to practice that, you know, many hours, over many years, to gradually get to a point where they can, you know, attain some sort of, you know, quality. But these Nitya Siddha devotees, there is nothing like that. They never have to practice. They never have to, they don't have to do anything in order to, these are just natural, innate qualities when they want to dance, when they want to sing, when they want to play these musical instruments, they just do it perfectly, automatically, because that is their eternal nature, it's part of their eternal qualities like that. So, but the demigods who were watching, again, Śrīla Viśvanātha Cakravarti Thakura describes that they, the men in particular, were not eligible, qualified to actually view Krishna's confidential pastimes with his gopis. So they saw Krishna dancing here and there, but they were not eligible to actually see Krishna's gopis. So, as we know, only no one can enter the Rasa dance in a male form. Krishna is the only male person in the Rasa dance. As that pastime with Lord Shiva, and I think it was Suri Muni. Suri Muni was meditating on Lord Sri Krishna, and suddenly Lord Krishna disappeared from his meditation. And try as he may, he could not bring Krishna back into his heart, his mind, in his meditation. So he went to search out, and he went to Bhadarika Shram, where Narayana Rishi usually are, to ask them what had happened, why he could no longer see Krishna in his meditation. And when he got there, Narayana Rishi was absent, appeared to be absent. And so he was able to go to Svetadvipa, where he wanted to see Lord Vishnu, and when he got there, Lord Vishnu was apparently absent as well. In this way, he travelled to different places, and then he went to Vrindavan, Mathura, and he met some gopis, cowherds, and they understood his dilemma and said, well, you may have to go see Lord Shiva, and he will be able to solve your problem. So he went to the particular place where Lord Shiva was meditating, explained his dilemma to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was happy to help him, and so they came back to Vrindavan, and they were going to the place where at this stage Krishna was also performing rasa dance with the gopis. And when they were entering into the places where the confidential, you know, the groves of Vrindavan, where the confidential pastimes were going on, they were met by these gopis. And the gopis stopped them and said, you cannot go in there. And they were again, looking at this, you know, brahmana. And you can imagine the gopis, you know, they know that Krishna is, you know, with the gopis, and they're enjoying these very romantic, you know, amorous conjugal dance of love, and here is Lord Shiva with skulls and, you know, ashes, and, you know, and this austere looking Muni, you know, not a very romantic looking sight. And you know, the gopis are, you know, they begin to giggle, they actually begin to laugh quite loudly. It's, you know, just the concept of these two characters, you know, walking into the vast house. So, you know, they finally stopped laughing and said to them that if they went and bathed in the, you know, they explained that there was only one male in there, and that is Krishna, and no other males are allowed to enter. If you want to enter, you have to enter into in a you know, female form, the form of a gopi. And she suggested that they go to the Manasaganga and you know, bathe in the Manasaganga. So they did. They went there and they bathed in it. As they came out with these beautiful gopi forms. And so they were allowed to wander into the Rasa Leela, and there is that form of Lord Shiva, of course, is called Gopeshwara. Obviously, somewhere in Vrindavan, and they say the Turimuni also resides with eternity. Have you seen that? Mm-hmm.
I've seen
the Shiva. So evidently, the men, demigods, they were not even allowed to see the gopis, even though the demigods watched on. Perhaps their wives may have had that fortune. So considering the very transcendental, inconceivable nature of this rasa dance, Gaugamaya also had a very active role, in that she did many things. She arranged to have the gopis were beautifully dressed, each one, unseen, unnoticed by anyone. And Yogamaya somehow, manifested these beautiful garments and decorations and jewelry that were, just exactly befitting the rasa dance. So you can imagine as they're, twirling, and the various dresses and scarves and veils will be, flowing with the particular dance. And of course, the nature of the rasa dance is it actually gives, each and every individual gopi an opportunity to manifest her own individual talents. So there is the general dancing, and there is also the opportunity where each and every gopi is, manifesting to Krishna her own particular talents in dancing and singing and embracing. And, the garments that they were wearing were just exactly befitting the type of dance and the type of mood. So this is... they dance like this. Kavi Kanapura describes it, although 300 million gopis danced with Krishna for this long duration of time, they didn't raise one speck of dust. So you imagine, just that concept, when I read that one sentence, it brought to my mind a lot of different, problems that you could have. Because, when you think about that, you imagine all the problems you could have when you've got 300 million people dancing. I used to go to those concerts out at, offshore and the falls, and we distribute prasadam. And I remember one year, because of the crowds of people, they wore the grass away and the wind blew. So we had our tent in the way the wind was coming. So there's just this all day, for 3 days, just dust just pouring in. We couldn't get on the plate, it got covered in dust. The tops, everything was just, and our throats were all, our faces were becoming blackened, So, and that was, that was only about 15,000 people in a big field. And they just, they just kicked up so much dust that it just made it was a terrible situation. So imagine 300 million gopis.
In the negative version, it mentions that there are piles of dust where the Krishna's been dancing with the gopis around the place.
There's still no contradiction. Although it was being managed, it was all put in neat little piles.
Yeah.
The point that he was making was that there was certainly not even one speck of dust that became a disturbance. Although they certainly would have, kicked up a hell of a fuss above the banks of the Jamunas. So then you know, from doing those concerts, you imagine, you know, another problem, of course, that they had, you know, sanitary conditions, you know, people wanting to go to the toilet and what have you, and there's 15,000 people, you try and, you know, Waterloo type thing, and you know, it was a terrible situation. It was hell. it was hellish. And you know, here everyone is, you know, dancing in unison. There's this loving, wonderful atmosphere. You know, there's no fighting in the mosh pit, and you know, what have you, crowd surfing. There's a lot of, you know, we may try to somehow, you know, just put the ingredients together, some dancing and some hugging and some singing, and we will also have rasa, but we don't. We get dust in our face and, you know, we're getting our black eyes and all our money's gone. We have to go to work the next, you know, we wonder who we're with. We can't quite remember. Got some numbers in our mobile. So, you know, it is, you don't hear of any of the gopis, you know, spraining their ankles, you know, having to be, you know, rushed off on a stretcher to the hospital. You know, there's a lot of, you know, when you're dancing in a forest like that, you know, you get a twig in your eye, you know. You know, there's so many ways you can bump into someone, or, you know, knock someone over. And even in our, you know, temples, which are quite sedate compared to, you know, so, you know, you can get damaged sometimes. I remember one at Mayapur, and they had some of those big Negro from America, huge, you know, big men, big men. And I was dancing next to them, and, you know, they just give a little flick of the hip, next thing you're bouncing off the wall on the other side of the temple, you know. But they're not trying to hurt you or anything, they just don't know their own strength. They just let it boom, 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 you know. You sort of, you're trying to get in there amongst them, but you take your life and it's like dancing with elephants, you know. You get in amongst them, you're getting squished and squashed and bounced and trampled. So, somehow, you know, they, you know, just a little spiritual. How someone can try and claim to imitate, you know, that's of course the point that we're getting to, that, you know, sometimes people, you know, they want to imitate that I will be Krishna, I have some gopis and I will dance with them. But, you know, if they can somehow gather, you know, 300 million gopis and arrange dancing in the expertise, with the expertise that they danced and sang, and with the love and without, you know, everything pure like that, then that is another thing. But just, you know, one foolish man and a couple of foolish women, you know, imitating this pastime with all the problems that they have in the material world is so far removed from what happened here that almost an insult. It's so from, you know, Rasa Leela. So, you know, generally, there was one group of people in the 60s called the Shiva Leela. And, you know, they'd been to India, and they, you know, their concept, they were God. You know, they were Shiva, they were Krishna, they were this one, they were that one. And they used to, you know, have, you know, so many women like this. And, of course, you know, children will come. But that, you know, they were actually imitating these pastimes that, you know, there was one leader, one woman, one man. And, you know, sort of were there, but there was this one central person. And they travelled all over the world, you know, looking for places to have their so-called Shiva Leela. But, you know, the reality of their so-called pastimes was that, you know, just a whole lot of trouble and botheration. At one stage, in their so-called free-thinking ways, they actually took their children, they went back to India, and so that they could be freed up a little bit for their so-called, pastimes, they left their children with these families, Indian families, and they went to some Asian country where they, continued their pastimes. And while there, most of the children died. They got the disease that went through and just, killed. So most of their children died. Which, so as these people got into, adulthood, it's like this, nightmare that happened to them while they were imitating Krishna's pastimes, in that sense. So, it's not possible to imitate, and if one even dares to imitate these pastimes, certainly they bring upon them great destruction. We are meant to be very responsible, act very responsibly, religiously, morally, ethically, to do the right thing, we have to be responsible, proper life in this world, and never ever try to imitate God and his, Krishna and his intimate associates. And if one does and imitates giving up one's real responsibilities, then as a result of giving up those real responsibilities, there comes great reactions. So it should never be done. Of course, that's a discussion that comes up at the end of this chapter. So in this way, this Rasa Leela pastime was going on in quite an incredible, inconceivable way, and Krishna was dancing with the gopis to, fill their hearts with unlimited bliss, and the gopis were also dancing in such a way as to fill Krishna's heart with unlimited bliss. So I'll leave it there if anyone has any comments or questions.